Presentations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be here until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. And we are going to have a word of prayer. We'll get into our program here, but those phone numbers are 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air again today. We just pray you bless the program. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody and point people to Christ through the things that we talk about, that we can lift up and glorify Christ through it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be on the air with you today. And I'm going to have to apologize for my predecessor, Pastor Lutz, in the program before us. He seems to think that I'm the radical that got the disclaimer on his program. We were joking about it as we closed here. I think that he's just listened to my program enough that his inner radical has come out, and he's willing to preach uncompromisingly the Word of God. But we had fun with that, and love Pastor Lutz and his program, and certainly highly recommend that if you get the chance and you haven't listened to Pastor Lutz before, and you just wonder what I'm talking about here, go ahead and tune in at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons, and he's got an excellent Bible study. He's a pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church out in Lakewood, Ohio, and of course, then we're followed by Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, and he comes on. He has a message on at 2 o'clock after our program here, and I highly recommend that as well. And while I'm recommending people, you can tune in on Thursday afternoons at 3 o'clock and from 3 to 4. Many of our listeners are familiar with evangelist Bruce Musselman, and he has a program, Where is God's Word?, right here on this station every Thursday afternoon from 3 until 4 o'clock. And so, but our program, Live with Pastor Al, we are a call-in program. And like I said, we have a toll-free number, 888-677-9673, and sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I am the pastor, hence the name Live with Pastor Al. And we also have a program on Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight. And we have a whole hour, and we also have that program broadcast not only here on AM 1220, The Word, here in Independence, Ohio, but also that is broadcast in Tampa, Ohio. In Tampa, Florida. And it's a little further south. It's almost like being in Ohio sometimes. I remember there was a governor's race one time. I can't remember which one it was, but the media was kind of joking about how the one of the people running for governor actually did campaign down in Florida. And it might have been actually Tampa, or at least that area, because so many people from Ohio at this time of year travel down there. But every Sunday night we're on in Tampa, Florida, on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. And so if you travel down there, you can tune us in there. But you can always find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's our website, livewithpastoral.com. And that website has links to our church website, has links to our Facebook page, and I encourage you to go there if you want to listen to one of our previous programs. Perhaps you're not able to listen to the full hour program on Sunday nights because of the lateness, or you just only get to listen to part of it. You can find those. There's MP3 files of our previous programs listed there at livewithpastoral.com. So I encourage you to go there. And you can also link from there to our Facebook page, try to post a number of things there, different articles and items that I come across there. And that's, again, I said, live at pastoral.com. But again, just want to jump into something here today. And I was praying about something to talk about this afternoon. And I was thinking about the subject of heaven. And in specific, I was thinking about Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, Paul writes, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." And by the way, I believe he's talking about himself when he was dragged out and stoned and left for dead outside of Lystra, I believe it was. And he says, "I knew a man," here in verse 2, "in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." Now, I guess I'm going ahead and read just a little, a couple more verses here, verses 6 and 7. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the audience of the revelations. There is given to me a thorn in the flesh, which the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And he goes on to talk about his thorn in the flesh. But what I want to look at here is Paul talks about being caught up into heaven. And twice he uses the phrase in parentheses in verse 2 and verse 3 here in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 and verse 3. He says, "Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth," in verse 2. Verse 3, "Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth," there in verse 3. And so he's saying that, and again, I believe he's talking about himself when he was stoned and left for dead outside of the city, that he believes that he either was caught up into the third heaven, this would be where God dwells, or perhaps not. He may have been left for dead, and God gave a vision of heaven, or maybe he actually was in the heaven. Humanly speaking, it was something he was not able to discern, but he said God knows what the case is. And I find this interesting because the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Paul himself wrote that. And so the Holy Spirit is giving Paul the things to say, and you would think, well, if God knows, it would have said one way or the other, whether he was in the body or out of the body, because he says it right there, God knoweth. But I think the reason that it's kind of left nebulous here is because God says this isn't as important as what I have to say to you here. Whether somebody has died and gone into heaven and come back or not, that's not the big thing. The message that he has, and he says, I could glory about this, but he was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from becoming too proud, too lifted up, and glorifying himself, because his purpose was to glorify Christ. Now, I thought about this, and I was thinking about the program today, and I was thinking about this idea of talking about heaven. Heaven is an incredible place the Bible describes for us, and the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard," you know, the things that God's prepared for us. And so we can barely imagine, and I believe what Paul is saying here is in this glimpse of heaven, he saw things that were so glorious. When he says there that it was not lawful to speak about these things, in verse 4 he says he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And I think more of what he's saying is not so much that it's against the law, but it's impossible according to what we would think of the laws of physics and the laws of nature, to be able to speak and to adequately describe the things that are in heaven. And so this is amazing. Now, what I saw also that made me think about this is there's been several books written lately about people who have gone to heaven and come back. You don't so much see books about people that have gone to hell and come back, but you do see frequently books about somebody who's gone to heaven and come back. And of course, there was the movie about the boy that died and went to heaven and come back. And that's Heaven is for Real. And people go back and forth, is that book for real? But here's one that I wanted to call your attention to. There's been a book published by Tyndale House. It's been in print for a little while now, and it's been a bestseller called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. And Tyndale has been publishing this, but they just announced that they're going to stop selling this book. Now, this book was written by Kevin Malarkey and Alex Malarkey, and I apologize if I'm saying that wrong, but it was published originally in 2010, and it describes this young boy, Alex, when he was 6 years old in a car accident, that he went into a coma for 2 months. His injuries left him paralyzed, and he supposedly gave an account of going to heaven and seeing all kinds of things in heaven. Well, despite some troubling things in the book that don't seem to comport with the Word of God, people have really pushed this book. And people bought it and read it. And even Alex's mom, as recently as I believe it was last April, wrote on her own blog, she wrote, quote, "It is both puzzling and painful to watch the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, not only continue to sell, but continue for the most part to not be questioned." She said herself that the book is not biblically sound and that her own son's objections to it were ignored and repressed. And she noted that her son did not receive any money from the book or anything towards that name, and that his name and identity are being used against this his wishes. And she says, quote, "How can this be going on? Great question. How did it get this far? Another great question." Now, if that wasn't enough, Alex, the boy in question here, has also distanced himself from the book. He published a letter. It was published on the Pulpit and Pen website, pulpitandpen.org. And this letter here, he denies this book. He denies the accuracy of it. And let me go ahead and read the book or the letter here, and we're going to get to a phone call here in just a moment as well. But this is the letter that Alex, the boy who supposedly died and went to heaven, he wrote this letter. It's titled "An Open Letter to Lifeway and Other Sellers, Buyers, and Marketers of Heaven Tourism by the Boy Who Did Not Come Back from Heaven." He writes, "Please forgive the brevity, but because of my limitations, I have to keep this short. I did not die. I did not go to heaven. I said I went to heaven because I thought it would get me attention. When I made the claims that I did, I had never read the Bible. People have profited from lies and continue to. They should read the Bible, which is enough. The Bible is the only source of truth. Anything written by man cannot be infallible. It is only through repentance of your sins and a belief in Jesus as the Son of God who died for your sins, even though he committed none of his own, so that you can be forgiven, may you learn of heaven outside of what is written in the Bible, not by reading a work of man. I want the whole world to know that the Bible is sufficient. Those who market these materials must be called to repent and to hold the Bible as enough. In Christ, Alex Malarkey." Now, this is a very powerful statement. And finally, as a result of all of this, publisher, Tyndale House, has stopped selling the book. They've announced they're going to stop selling it. They are also going to discontinue all of the associated trinkets and junk that have been tied in with the marketing promotion of the book. But it only took I guess, a few years of Alex and his mother trying to alert them to the fact that this is just not real. Why did Tyndale House continue to sell it? Well, I think the reason is because it made money. It made money, and so they kept selling it. You have to remember, Tyndale House long ago ceased to become a Christian ministry. It's owned by Secular Publishing House. I can't remember exactly which one. It may be Tyndale, or perhaps it's Zondervan I'm thinking of, that's owned by Rupert Murdoch and his media empire. But both of them, Tyndale and Zondervan, are owned by secular media conglomerates. And their main function is to make money, not to minister, not to present the Word of God. And Tyndale and Zondervan both years ago had strong evangelical ties and standards. They don't today. And it's just to make money. For instance, here's a quote by the ghostwriter of Heaven is for Real, Lynn Vincent. She was the ghostwriter for Heaven is for Real on behalf of the boy Colton Burpo and his father, who put this book out. She said she was initially reluctant to include Colton's description of people in heaven of having wings. This is her quote. She said, "If I put that people in heaven have wings, Orthodox Christians are going to think that the book is a hoax." Well, she went ahead and put it in, and the sad thing is, Orthodox Christians didn't think it was a hoax. And there's been some questions, despite its best-selling status and the movie, as to whether or not Colton Burpo really saw the things that his father claims that he saw. And there's plenty of reasons to question that. Well, let me give you real quick here, and then I'm going to get to our phone call here. There's four people in the Bible that had visions of heaven. Now, I'll give you the verses. I don't have time to go into them. Maybe we'll revisit them, but I want to get to our phone caller here. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapters 1 and 10. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4, where I was reading. And John in the book of Revelation, starting in verse 4, and mostly verses 4 through 6, have descriptions of heaven, and their descriptions are all in agreement with each other. And you know the sad thing is that many of these books, such as The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven and others, where people have gone to heaven, they're in disagreement with the Bible. So what do you do when you have a book that disagrees with the Bible, or a claim that disagrees with the Bible? What do you do? What do you decide to go with? Well, I think that what we ought to go with is what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is Peter, who saw many glorious things. He was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Even after referring to this, he says in 2 Peter 1 verse 19, after talking about the glorious vision that he had on the Mount of Transfiguration, he says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy," in verse 19, "whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And he's saying that the word of God, that's what he's talking about, the more sure word of prophecy, is better than any vision that we might have. We should be like the Berean Christians in believers in Acts 17:11, I believe it is, where Paul commended them. He said they were nobler than those in Thessalonica, in that they didn't just accept what Paul said because he said it. He says that they checked it out with the scriptures. Go look that up. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. He says they checked out everything he said with the scriptures, and then they accepted it. And if people would check out with the scriptures these things before just believing them, I don't think a lot of these books would be the bestsellers that they are. And I remember reading some various descriptions of heaven in some of these different books, and there's something that often is missing, and that is the gospel. You see, people that get there just because they're good people, or everybody gets there eventually. You remember the devil, the Bible says, masquerades as an angel of light, and he even tries to fool the believers themselves. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, toll-free, 888-677-9673. We have Nancy in Euclid calling in. And Nancy, welcome to the program this afternoon.
Oh, yes, Pastor Al. Thank you so much for taking my call. That was all extremely interesting. But I want to switch gears, and I have another question. Based on Psalm 119, 165, which Pastor Andy had our whole church memorize a few years ago, which is extremely helpful and applicable verse. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. But I find it extremely hard looking at our president, who has done so many evil things, you know, pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, weakening the military, and this latest thing. I could list 100 things, but for the sake of time, this latest thing where he's released 5 Gitmo detainees who are terrorists. It's like, how can we have peace? You know, it's love thy law, us Christians, and nothing shall offend me. How can we not be offended by all these things that President Obama has done? And this latest thing that he's done is just, it's like, I'm livid. I know we're supposed to be accept things and everything, but if you could give me some Bible verses, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, let's take a quick look at that, and that was verse 165, Psalm 119, verse 165.
Yeah.
And when we look at this verse here, great peace have they which love thy law, and you know, the Bible says that God gives us a peace that passes understanding, and so that's a key right there, that we have through Christ. And as a believer, the peace that we have isn't, you know, in the things that are happening in the world and in world leaders and, you know, getting the right party in. I think that the Republican Party certainly reflects Christian values more than the other major party at this moment. And it's certainly not perfect, and it's drifting quite a bit. So political parties are not going to be the source of our peace. It's God and His Word. And I think what we're getting at here in this passage here about not being offended is it's not so much that we don't I'll use a word that it's not used commonly, umbrage at the things that happen. Not that we're not upset with the things that happen. Remember Jesus when he walked into the temple and he saw the money changers and all, and he cleansed the temple. He certainly showed a great outrage at the travesty and what they had done to the temple in turning it into a marketplace rather than the spiritual aspect of the temple. So when we're grounded in the Word of God, these things are not going to, we're going to be upset by things, but we're not going to be overturned in a sense. And if you look at that word offend, it doesn't always necessarily mean I'm offended. Like if somebody calls you something insulting and you say, I'm offended. Or it's not so much that you get upset, but it's the idea that it doesn't cause you to just, in a sense, collapse and stumble and fall. We see these things happening, and we know that the world is not going to get better. You know, there's a contrary doctrine out there. It's contrary to the Word of God that Christian Reconstructionism, Dominion Theology, it goes by different names, it teaches that the world is going to get better and better, and then the
totally
Lord's going to come back.
Yeah.
We have a song in our songbook. I don't even know why it's there, but I don't let people sing it. It's got the line, the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of truth and delight. That's not scriptural, and that's why we don't sing it, because that reflects the idea things are going to get better.
But it's not scriptural.
I know. We sang it all the time when I was growing up, but run out of time here. But what I want to get back to is if we're grounded in God and His Word and we love His Word, we can see things happen in the world, and though we might not like what's happening and we might take offense in that sense, it's not going to cause us to stumble and fall. It's not going to overcome us because our hope is not in the government. Our hope is not in a political party. Our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And His Word.
Excellent.
I apologize I didn't get to a whole lot of verses there. I'm out of time, but that's our hope, Christ. We need to be grounded in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the call. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding